Well, this morning we are going to talk about something which is close to my heart, and that is the power of Christian community. And the Greek word which talks about the New Testament community and the fellowship of the believers is this word koinonia. And it exists a number of times throughout the New Testament. And it talks about the deep, rich fellowship that Christians have and its purposes. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit. But just as a way of intro, when I was 20, I had the incredible opportunity to go and be an education abroad student, an exchange student essentially. And I chose to go to a place an hour and a half north of Los Angeles. And I went to University of California in Santa Barbara for 6 months. If you have an opportunity to go and study somewhere, why wouldn't you choose somewhere like Santa Barbara? Which is what I did. Very vain of me, I know. Little did I know that God had a bigger picture which was being written for me. I went as a 20-year-old. I just cut off the mullet. It was still the 90s. But there I went. I kind of had my backpack, T-shirt. It wasn't much to it, all right. I rocked up in Santa Barbara. I went to the university to check out where I was going to study. And in all that, I had also had one contact where I stayed with a pastor in Santa Barbara. And I thought it was just going to be a short-term stay while I organized my accommodation at the university. What ended up happening was Steve Jolly, the pastor of Santa Barbara Community Church, invited me to live and stay in his back office, essentially detached from the house. Now I was 20 years old, it didn't really matter where I slept as long as I got to sleep, you know. So I was fine back there. In God's big picture, I thought that I was going there to kind of discover who I was a little bit and do this study at University of California, Santa Barbara. But in God's big picture, he wanted to introduce me to a church which lived out Christian community in a way which I hadn't yet seen. And so I got involved in Santa Barbara Community Church. I had a life group leader by the name of Brad Christensen, and he spoke into my life. He was more than just interested about the cool things about Australia. He was more than just interested in the awesome accent that I had. He was actually interested in my spiritual life. And out of that, I started to experience something of Christian community. Santa Barbara Community Church spoke a lot about Christian community. And they talked a lot about koinonia. Hence, as I got to know Brad more and more, and he got more and more comfortable with me, he stopped calling me Koinon and started calling me Koinonia. Now, it's one thing to already have a bizarre name, which isn't common anywhere around the world. It's another thing to then have someone calling you Koinonia, but it was pretty cool because it talked about the richness of Christian fellowship. It talked about the richness of a fellowship which has a mission. It was brilliant because it talked a lot about what it means to have connections which are far more than just a connection to a club or just a friendship which might be long-standing, but the deepness which comes when Jesus is at the center of that friendship. So this morning, essentially, we're talking about connection. And what we understand, friends, as believers in Jesus Christ is kind of a triangulation of connection. Firstly, each of us who confess Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives have developed then a personal relationship with God, kind of this vertical relationship with Jesus. And then, in the life of the church, there are others who have also developed that relationship with Jesus. So I have a personal relationship with Jesus, and then the person sitting next to you, by God's grace, also has a personal relationship with Jesus, so the two of them. And then, through Jesus, we then have relationship with one another. It's very deep, it's very rich, and it's something which is very purposeful and provides deep connection. And so this kind of understanding of what a Christian community does and is fulfills us in very deep ways. It's divine connections. So it's spirit connecting to spirit, souls connecting to souls, life then in all of itself connecting one to another. Do you know, in 2018, there was a report which was done about loneliness in Australia. And this is some of the results from this Australian report on loneliness. It said this, that nearly 30% of Australians rarely or never feel part of a group of friends. 30% rarely or never feel part of a group of friends. One in four do not feel they have a lot in common with the people around them. So 25% just feel like I'm just an anomaly in the whole scheme of things. One in five rarely or never feel close to people, rarely or never feel they have someone to talk to, and don't feel they have people that they can run to in a time of need. And nearly a quarter say they can't find companionship when they want it. And there's real implications to this. Loneliness has a substantial impact on the chance of being depressed and anxious. Loneliness increases the likelihood of experiencing depression by over 15%, and being depressed increases the likelihood of being lonely by 10%. This is existing in the communities around us. And friends, I want to declare to you here this morning and proclaim to you that God offers a very real gift to us, and it is the people of God, the church. It is our dynamic, powerful solution to the deep needs that people have to be connected, and to be connected in a way which builds people up and not just exists side by side. My life in Christ, your life in Christ, our life together, far deeper. It is a genius work of God that He would gift us, the church, to meet the deepest needs that we have. It's called koinonia, Christian fellowship. It's not good to be alone, as Dean spoke to us last week. We lament that there has been breaks with God. But through Jesus, this incredible gift, we are able to be connected and be deeply fulfilled in Christian friendship. So many are hungering for this kind of connection. And the God, the one who has created us all, invites us into this. You know, sometimes kids say at kids' church or Sunday school, what was God doing before He created the world? That's a good question, isn't it? What was God doing? Well, you're lucky today I'm going to give you the answer. You wish you had this when you're at Sunday school. You're teaching it. God in the Godhead, the three in one, was living harmoniously together in the warmth of that relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what God was doing. And out of the warmth of that relationship, He has a response to create. And this beautiful world in which we live was created. Now we know that brokenness came in through sin, and through that, God has been seeking to restore things back to Himself. And the powerful work of Jesus is His primary means by which that is to take place. And the Christian church carries this story, and you and I live this out, this restorative work back to the Father's heart, and to experience the warmth of His love. It's not just a theory, but the warmth of His love, and to live that out one to another as best we possibly can. Fellowship, koinonia. 1 John chapter 1 says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, which was with the Father and made manifest to us. That eternal life that God had came to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. So it comes to us from those who have experienced it. And as we experience it, we pass it on ourselves so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Who wants to have complete joy? Come on. Yeah. And what we have in this beautiful idea of Christian fellowship, of koinonia, of this wonderful way in which the church is to exist, being breathed upon with life from the Holy Spirit, is that we have an opportunity to share a life in common, which is based around the new work that Jesus is doing within each one of us. It is based on that which is common to us, which is the work of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, the personhood of Jesus, and the will of Jesus. And it is the opportunity which binds us together in a very unique and very powerful way. This is what we share in common, and it is the power of koinonia. That is what brings us as God's people. Now, there are many ways in which people connect. There are many ways in which people experience community. But the Christian church has this at its very deep core, this life of Jesus pulsing through its very own life, calling out from within us this opportunity to be Christ-like to one another and to grow as his people. It is a great vision and something which God calls us into that we might aspire to it. Now, we are a community church. We are a church which holds this dear. We value it. We don't see ourselves as just people who come on a Sunday and leave it behind, but we want to enter into this life in a much deeper way, which is what we're going to talk about. Because when this starts breaking through, it allows us to find a deep sense of belonging, which is so powerful and locates us in such a way and is so fulfilling that we go, wow, this is where the richness truly lies, in the power of Christian community. Koinonia, it's very deep. And we had some fun on Friday night at Kids Club. Who was at Kids Club? Okay, that was all the helpers because all the kids are out there out at Kids Club, out at Kids Church. And what they did at Kids Club on Friday night was we took the kids on a journey around the world. Now, it's hard to travel at the moment, we know that. So what was created in here was like a plane setup. They put some vision of flying on the screen and then chairs together, so it was like a plane. And all the kids came in and sat in their seats. Now, kids have an incredible imagination. They were fully into it. They were looking for seat belts on the seats that you're on. They were, you know, they were following all the safety instructions, though our air hosts and hosts were getting it all kind of wrong. I think we had people walking off wings and so on. One person actually said, the kid said, I need to go to the toilet. And they said, sorry, there's only one bathroom on here and it's all being occupied. And the kid was like, really? Okay. You know, they were fully into it. It was just an awesome time. Well, then they went to different parts of the world, and Hawaii and Japan. And the area that I was looking after was India. Now, I love India. I've been there a couple of times, and it's a wonderful country. And in our church, we've got some people who have immigrated to Australia from India, and we have a deep connection with them. And as I was hosting this section on India, I was talking a little bit about the kind of the clothing that they might wear in India and some of the traditional and what some of the rural people would wear and so on. Tasia, who was helping me with along with Bulan and along with Pavan, had this incredible piece of cloth for a sari, about 9 meters long it was, and we had these kids getting up as models and they put together this sari. It was just amazing. And then Pavan, who's one of our church counselors, and he was talking a little bit about one of these. This is a lungi. And this is what they would wear in, particularly in southern India. And it's like a tube piece of cloth sewn together. And he'd say, this is what they would wear. And just so happened that we had two lungis. And so together, Pavan and I, before all the kids, put on a lungi. Do you know how a lungi works? All right. I'm going to keep my jeans on, okay? Right? This is how a lungi works. Step into it like this. Okay? And then you hold that out like this, just in case you get one and you really wonder how to do this. And Pavan and I were doing this together and he was explaining it. And then you tuck that in there and then you get it under a little bit of the extra rolls of padding that you might have. And there you have a lungi. Right? And so we were there together and then Pavan says, but if you're working outside, you know, you can't get down enough, so like this. And so you then have, you can then fold it up like this. Okay. Extra glad I got jeans on, right? And then tuck that in like this. And there you have the way in which you can work out in the fields is a lungi. How's that? You like that? Yeah, thanks. Oh, okay. Thanks, Twinkle. Your Sri Lankan help isn't heaps appreciated. Anyways, that's a lungi. Pavan and I are having a great time with that. But the reason actually why we're having actually such an awesome time is actually I know Pavan's heart. I know that Pavan loves Jesus passionately. I just know the way in which he lives that faith out. I've heard his story about how he heard God kind of locate him to Australia. I see how he shares Christ into his family. I see the radiance of God's glory on his face and how that's living itself out. And I go, you know what? As much as we're having fun because around something common with a lungi, we have a deep spiritual connection because of a common love for Jesus. That is where the difference lies. And that is the uniqueness of this Christian community. I look around our room, we've got people of different ages, we've got people from different countries, we've got people from different walks of life with different stories, and yet Jesus, by his grace, calls us to be a new community under him and actually makes it possible that we can be friends together through him. Incredibly powerful. It is the power of koinonia. And so we are, we're each of us, a new creation in Jesus, called to build a new community towards the kingdom of God. And we're invited into this. And so we have this common access to the same Spirit of God as we're called into being something quite unique based on the radical love of Jesus Christ. So that's the great vision that has been given to us from God, that we would be finding ourselves in that kind of Christian community. And I can tell you the richness of my life in Christ has come because of the richness of the community that has come from following Jesus. But what does it take? Does it just happen? Is it an accident? Does it just all of a sudden just emerge? Well, I think it actually takes a little bit from us to see it happen. And the word which I would use is that it takes sharing. Quite simply, that is what it requires from us. To share in Christ and to share Christ with each other through this friendship. And it's firstly is sharing of our lives. It takes then sharing of your spiritual gifts. It takes sharing of your material blessings. And it takes a shared commitment to the unity in the body. Let's talk about that first one first. Sharing of your lives. You can rest assured that our God is relentlessly relational. That he is not just about a process or a structure, but he is relentlessly relational in connecting you to him. He's not just a theory. He's not just a concept. But he is a personal God, the living God who wants to connect personally with you. He is relentless in his approach and connecting with you, which means he calls his people to be also relentlessly relational. Now, some of us are going, yeah, but I'm an introvert, so heck. Some of us are going, I'm an extrovert, going, you beauty, I'm going to get some energy out of this. We all relate differently, but it is about finding heart and soul connections with one another. What we see in Acts chapter 2, we just celebrated Pentecost, which the breath of God breathed on the early believers, and then they were living out this new life in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was bringing them together as a community. We read how they were living their life together. It says this in Acts chapter 2, as the Spirit had been upon them, and they're growing, 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Friends, this word devoted means that they were intentional about it. It means it didn't just happen, but they worked at it. If you are devoted to your daily devotions, it means you are putting it in regularly. If you are devoted to whatever it is, you know that you have to carve out time and be intentional about it. These early believers, to live out this powerful connection that they have with God and with each other, were devoted to it. They were intentional about it. And in that, they offered grace and friendship with one another. But they were devoted. We have to be intentional about it. What did they devote themselves? To learning about God, to each other, and then breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, the result of this, friends, was that God was able to pour out an enormous blessing upon them as they worked together in this way. And daily, God added to their number those who were being saved. Friends, it came out of their devotion. I mean, we all live busy schedules. Everyone tells me how busy they are. And I go, yeah, I'm busy. I've got a full calendar as well. And then this captures me again. I'm going, well, what am I busy doing? Because what I'm busy doing is going to be a sign of what I'm devoted to. Does that make sense? If I'm just busy doing all of life, it's going to show what I'm actually devoted to. If we think that we're devoted to the work of Christ in our lives and to the Christian community as depicted, and what we do is we kind of just dabble our toes in it, you know, an hour or so on a Sunday, rather than allowing it to infiltrate the very depths of who we are and then experience that friendship with one another, then I don't think we're living out this ideal that God gives us as God's people. He calls us to be devoted to one another in deep ways, to be connected through Jesus like this. And so we need to capture our imagination about what this community can be like, because I believe it's out of that idea that we say, you know what, I can devote myself to this, that we can be a part of a spiritual family, spiritually sharing with one another. And I tell you, if you are devoted to the apostles' teaching, if you're devoted to the word, you will have a word to share with another person. The whole invitation of Koinonia, of spiritually growing together as God's people, is that you would have spiritual connections. If you don't want spiritual connections, you can have it in any other club. But the church allows us to go spiritually. Brad Christensen, my life group leader, as he called me, Koinonia. Didn't do it that often, so don't let it catch on. He'd say, how are you going spiritually? He's interested in my soul, interested in my spirit, interested in my life in Christ. And it connected us. We have a great vision of what this can be. This is what it takes, though. Some devotion to this which God has given us as a great gift to each other and to the world. Secondly, it takes sharing of your spiritual gifts and a sharing of your material blessings. The body ministry, and that is what we know as the body of Christ, this fellowship, this family of God, is enhanced as you use your spiritual gifts to serve each other in ministry. That is what it's for the building up of the body. In 1 Corinthians 14, right after the great love chapter, it says this, pursue love and earnestly, really meaning as a community, desire the spiritual gifts. You want them so that you can share them. And out of this, love is the premise in all of that. Each one of you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has been blessed with gifts that you can use to build up the body of Christ, to build up the family of God, to build about a fellowship which touches on this idea of koinonia. God has gifted that to you. Paul writes to me, fan into flame the gift that is within you. Light it up. Use it. It's so enriching. And we can see that in every part of our church as this is used. I was surprised just the other week, because after we'd had our service here, I went back to what we affectionately call the ark. That is where all our screens and sound desk and projection, everything comes from. called the ark. Now you think that's appropriate? It's like it's always afloat for 40 days, that ark back there. And I went back there and we've got this incredible team serving. They've just served so hard right through the service. There's a lot going on to make sure that this is online. For those who are online, bless you. There's a lot going on for this to come to you. But as I went up there, I saw them all take off their headphones, kind of turn down the knobs, and then they sat back and they just patted each other on the back. They just went, well done. They were exercising their spiritual gift of encouragement. They were also exercising the spiritual gift of helps. And in the very practical way in which they were able to do it, they were building the body. I was going, oh man, this is awesome, this team. I want to be a part of that, the way they were building each other up. They were experiencing koinonia as they were involved in their ministry. And that's just one in the life of our small church here at Hope Valley and what we're about. We want koinonia and spiritual gifts being used in every team that we have. And that's why we have team-based ministries, so that spiritual gifts could be used. Now, what this does, friends, is it sharpens each other. It helps form us to be more like Christ. If the Christian community is about bearing witness to Christ and it draws men and women to Christ, then working together makes us become more Christ-like, yes? Who knows that the people close to you can help shape you a little, okay? You might be more resistant to them, but in the spiritual family, you're working together and go, you know what? This is shaping me. It's making me become more like Christ. This is the gift of what it does. It forms us. But then it's also that we can indeed build koinonia as we share material blessings, because it glorifies God and is a joint contribution. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution to them and for all others. We look at this is actually about building up the fellowship. And what he is saying is that each of us, as we understand the way in which we can live generously before God, actually brings about this unique koinonia that is known as the church, as the Christian community. Now, many of us have made that decision to just contribute in. We give proportionally for the building up. And then there's from time to time we have opportunities which come to give above and beyond. Many of you, I know, are just aware of need and meet need with from material blessings just as you see it. Now, the great clincher for this, for koinonia to go that next step, is a sense of maturity. Sometimes when we're early in our belief, we say, look, I'm going to give because then I can expect back. I kind of feel like it should be at least a one-on-one. I'll give this proportion, maybe I'll receive back this proportion. We try to work it out as a ledger. Friends, to grow into true Christian community and to grow into maturity is just to give. And to understand that in this way, you're not expecting anything back, but you're being led by the Spirit. You give proportionally, and then as you see need, you just live out of that without expecting anything back. There's no ledger. You're already free in Jesus. You're already living a new relationship with Him. You already know that the promises of God will fulfill themselves. You already know that the community exists because of the way in which generosity is lived out, and you don't expect anything back. It is another level of maturity in the Christian life. Friends, please hear me. You can't give thinking, oh, I'm going to be able to work out how God is going to give this back to me. It doesn't work like that. We simply give because He loves us so much and we want to see more of His kingdom come, and we will, but we don't determine necessarily how that looks. Does that make sense? It is up to God. Let God be God and let you be led by the Spirit. This is a great sign of Christian love maturing itself in God's people. And then finally, koinonia, this Christian community, is found itself when there's a shared commitment by God's people to the unity of the body. We participate in it and then we work hard to guard it, protect it, and fight for the unity of God's people and His community. One thing we can learn from Christian history or church history is that Satan's primary strategy of destroying the church involves destroying unity. If he can get in there, divide things, then he's away. He's the author of confusion, insensitivity, false doctrine, and sadly, church splits. But the power of one-mindedness will follow one God. There is one baptism, one faith, one spirit, and we are connected to this one church. Then, friends, that overcomes that strategy from the evil one. Friends, and we enter into this. The Christian church was never to be something that you passively observe from a distance. No, the Christian community is this deep invitation where the door is opened and you're invited to walk into their life-giving relationship with Jesus and then life-giving relationships with each other, where we carve out intentional time, devoting ourselves to this work that Jesus is doing amongst us. It is a deep challenge in busy schedules, but it is the power and the promise that God gives us. And so we share a common life together. And we're shown what it is that will take that common life to live itself out most beautifully. So I encourage you, join a community group. I encourage you, if you can mentor someone or you want to be mentored, that you talk with us, because it brings these connections deep into each other's lives. It's amazing. You can start a community group online. You can do one within us here on site. Anyway, I want to finish from these words from Romans chapter 12, verse 9, because I think it speaks into who we are as God's people. It says this: let love be genuine, real and authentic. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Just other-centered. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Koinonia, living itself out. May Jesus be the center of all we do in our lives and with each other. Let us be in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the richness of Christian community and the power of your love which holds it all together. Lord, I thank you that you call us to be your people, but people with substance. And Lord, I pray that each of us would make the kind of commitment to your community, that you would grace in such a way that we might see more people saved, that we would be seen as a hope in this world, that light would be shared into darkness, and that love would overcome. We thank you, our God, that you open the door into this new way of living. We thank you that we are a new creation, can live in a new community where we can care for each other, build friendships with each other, build one another up in love, release gifts in ministry, and be your people. Lord, I pray that you would guard this foundational truth in who we are as a church, and that each of us would find ourselves drawn more and more into this great work that you have. We give you thanks and we give you praise. We thank you that you meet our deepest needs and our deepest longings. We thank you for the gift of the church. We thank you, Lord, that you are at work amongst us. We belong in you and we belong to each other. May your name be praised above all other names. Amen.